check, check. Hallelujah, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Check,
hallelujah.
1, 2.
Everyone, good morning, Glory and Peace Church. Hallelujah. We just praise you, Father God. Just open up your mouth and praise them. Hallelujah. We praise your name, Father God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Holy Spirit, you are in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you this morning. We honor you this morning. Hallelujah. We bless your name. Let us bless the Lord, hallelujah, with all that is within us, hallelujah. We praise your name. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. We sing. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I will bless the Lord. Bless the Lord with all my soul, all my
Mighty God. that Yahweh Sabaoth is the Lord that will fight our battles. He's the Lord that will heal us. He's our provider. He's our Savior. Raise your hand and say Yahweh Sabaoth. Thank you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom, Lord, let it come. Thy will done in the earth as it is in heaven. Father, this day give us our daily bread, our daily assignment. Forgive us, Lord, our trespasses, as we've forgiven those who've trespassed against us. And Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For truly thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. There is no God like you, no name like your name, no power like your power. Nothing even comes close. Lord, O God, today we bow ourselves before you in true humility as we declare, O God, that you be sovereign Lord and Savior of our lives. Not just our Savior, not just our Redeemer or Deliverer, Lord. Take ownership, O God, of your sons and your daughters today. We surrender our lives to you. And we ask, O God, that there be an outpouring of your Spirit like never before. Lord, O God, that we, O God, empowered and graced with your presence, your authority, your power, knowing you as we shield, will do great exploits in the earth. Father, all creation awaits the revelation of your sons. And Lord, here we come. We declare that we are your sons and the manifestations of your sons in the earth. Today we declare, O God, that every satanic presence is dislodged from the heavens, that which has accused us and bothered us and harassed us is cast down. So, Lord, O God, today we can celebrate with thanksgiving that salvation has come to us, strength has come to us, the kingdom of God is manifested in our lives. We give you praise, O God, that we are established in righteousness and in truth. This day, show yourself strong in the midst of your people. Your word says, in the day of your power, people will be willing. Oh God, we cry out. Reveal your power in us and through us. Your word says that we shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. And you said that we have the Holy Spirit. You breathe on us. And you said, receive the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit, even the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit came upon your church. We are that church. Now we ask for the manifestation of your power in us and through us. Use us to torment that which has tormented us. In the mighty name of Jesus, have your way, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen. He's worthy of our praise. And thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship this morning. That was wonderful. Thank you. Before Mama comes up to lead us in our time of prayer, I want to remind us that the young ones are going to be having a very special time in just a few weeks, and they do need the full support from us as God's people. there is something about being responsible, and that is that we have the capacity to respond with ability to do the needful. And this is the needful. Our young ones are going forth and they want to reach our community, and we need to stand with them as parents, stand with them in our prayers, stand with them in our givings, stand with them in volunteering so that they have all the help they need. Amen? Praise the Lord. And then I would like to also remind you that in 5 weeks, we are going to be having a great celebration here in this house, and also a gala on the 13th of September, celebrating 50 years of ministry. And I expect to see every one of us in that gala. Like my pastor friend said last week, we don't have enough crutches, and I will add, we don't have enough wheelchairs for lame excuses. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If people are coming all the way from Israel, paying thousands of dollars to come to celebrate, and if you are coming from Europe and Africa, then those of us that are here in the house have enough to be present. And not only at the gala, but in the services, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday evening. Of course, you know, Sunday morning, we are meant to be here also. So please do your utmost to pray for these meetings. We're expecting God to touch lives. There's so many prophetic voices. Over 15 speakers are going to be speaking to us during these meetings. You need to tap into everything God is offering us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I encourage you as best as I can to pray for these meetings. Do not only pray, invite others that you want to see come to salvation, or they need to be healed, or they need a prophetic word in their lives. Just invite them. God will help them after you've invited them to come. The help of the Lord will be with them to bring them so that they can experience God in a mighty way. Amen? Hallelujah. And then finally, on the 7th and the 8th, I believe, there is going to be a very special gathering here, coming all over this nation. People are going to be pouring from the East Coast, the West Coast, and everywhere. They're going to be coming in here to experience a revival. And I want to encourage you to be here for those meetings. God will bless you for coming. Pray for these meetings. It's very important. Our world is facing a great challenge right now. And we need to see young men and young women snatched from the snare of the enemy. Those that have been stuck in drug addiction, people that have lost their sense of identity, they need to hear the word of God, and they need to experience God in a very powerful way. And I want to encourage you to pray and to be engaged during these meetings on the 7th and the 8th. Amen? God bless you. At this time, Mama is going to come. And children, you may come up. This is the first Sunday of the month. So this is the Sunday that we get to pray. with and for you.
The rest of you sitting down, you can stretch your hands while we pray for our children. Father, we thank you, God, for another glorious day that you've given to us. We thank you, God, for your mercy. We thank you, God, that your mercy sustained us. We slept and we woke up today, and it's this well with us and our entire household. We are thankful and we are grateful. We thank you for all our biological children, all our spiritual children, all our partners, extended families, all over the world. We bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you that we are in your will, and in your will says it is well with us. Health is ours. Divine health is ours. Divine peace is ours. Divine joy is ours. Divine grace is ours. Everything you paid for, it is ours. So, Lord, we are thankful and we are grateful. We sang that you are awesome and you are a great God. Father, take your place in our lives. May we remember who you are always in our lives and who you are all the time. We give you praise. You don't have a need for man, but you made man. You chose us in your image and likeness, and you chose to make us partners with you. So we thank you that we are your beloved, and we are loved by you. We give you praise. Let all these children grow strong. Everyone from age 120 plus to zero form. Every single one of them, male and female, from the oldest to the youngest, those in seed form, those in the womb, those walking the earth, every decade of life, we commit all our lives to you. We thank you that your blessings are working in our lives and there's no sorrow added. So it is well with all of us. In the mighty name of Jesus, let our destinies be fulfilled and our days be fulfilled in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. If you believe this, say amen.
Amen.
All right, children, bless you. See you later. Live quietly. Prayer goes on. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that your Spirit is present. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. We welcome you, we receive you, have your way in our lives, in the service this morning, in our homes, our city, our nation, in our hearts above all, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. We're going to read a brief, short scripture this morning. But I always tell you, from wherever we read from, read the chapter on your own when you get home. All right, turn your Bible to Luke 4. Luke chapter 4. When I read the scripture, that means that's what you need to pray about. So if I don't continue in prayer with all of it in service, that's your choice to make sure you do that at home, at your own time. Say, I will do so. Faith only comes by hearing, so hearing by the word of God. So as faith comes, make use of the faith that comes through the hearing of the word. Amen? Faith is not just floating around. It works with the word. Amen? And it works by love. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Don't wait for other people to spoon feed you. Feed yourself. Say amen. Feed yourself. Just like you bait yourself. You can't be 40 years old and you're waiting for another adult when you're not sick and paralyzed for somebody to come and wash you up. Something is wrong with that mindset. So go for the things of God. Amen. Aggressively. Amen. Say the violent, take it by force. Kingdom of God has always suffered violence. Only the violent will take it. So always take what belongs to you and make good use of it. Don't look at other people's faces, you and God. Say amen. Everybody should be in Luke 4 already. Let's read from verse 15. You know, read up to 21. And he taught in their synagogue. This is after Jesus' baptism came out of the temptation and all of that. And the power of God is moving. And now, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue and on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. What is his custom? He doesn't just go into the synagogue. He goes there to read. Somebody say, I will read the word of God. Keep that custom for yourself from today on in the name of Jesus. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Somebody say, let the Spirit of the Lord come upon my life to do the same. Say amen. 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Can you read that 21 with me again? And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This scripture has been fulfilled over 2,000 years ago. Somebody shout hallelujah. So sickness have no power where you are. Hallelujah. When the Spirit of God is upon you, you have the power to say move. And they move. Poverty must move. Lack must move. Shame must move. Prisoners must move. There are people so captive, in captivity in their mind, that the mind can't even think well anymore. You can be free today in the name of Jesus. Jesus said it has been fulfilled. If it is fulfilled, it's fulfilled. We're not waiting for God to do it. It is done. In the name of Jesus. So my role and your role is to say what the word says, and it shall come to pass. Say amen. There are captives in your family, they shall be free. In the name of Jesus. If they are brokenhearted people, they shall be free. Those that are poor, they shall be free from poverty. In the name of Jesus. Those that are sick, they shall be healed. Those that are blind, they shall see. Those that are bruised, they shall be free and be healed, is in the name of Jesus. Rise with me and let us pray. Hallelujah. The difference between the one who will get the result and the one who won't is the one that came, just heard, and that was it. The difference is the one who heard it and did something about it. So all week, I'm sure you have so many people you are going to be praying for to be free with these scriptures. In your family, at your workplace, in your neighborhood. Those noisemakers in your neighborhood, you can begin to pray for them to be free. That one that drives the vehicle vroom, vroom, vroom at 2 a.m. when you need to sleep, you can begin to pray for them. Say amen. Instead of cursing them, you can set them free. Something is disturbing them, so they need to be free. We are a church. We come here to get our tools, and we leave this place to go out and use those tools to do what the Lord wants us to do. Somebody say, I will be a vessel of God. Say amen. Have the custom of the word and speak the word. Pray the word. Live by the word. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your holy word. The things you have already fulfilled, may we not be wasting time saying we are still waiting for it to be fulfilled. It's like still waiting for Messiah to come when you have come. Father, may we rise to who you called us to be. In the name of Jesus, we've been free from lack and poverty, and yet poverty and lack is still hanging around. We command all these wicked spirits to leave us now in the name of Jesus. Leave our church, leave our homes, leave our lives, leave our families, leave our city, leave our neighborhood, leave our nation in the name of Jesus. The scripture has been fulfilled. Jesus, you have done it. You did it before even you went to the cross. You said it has been fulfilled. Isaiah spoke about it so many hundreds of years before you came. And yet when you came, you said it's been fulfilled. Father God, 2,000 years later, almost 3,000 years later, we are still dealing with the same issue. Father, we choose to hold on to your word. And we speak your word over every one of us. I speak your word over my life. Do you speak his word over your life? I speak your word over my life and the lives of those who are hearing the sound of my voice. Be free from every lack in the name of Jesus. Be free from everything that God has set you free from in the name of Jesus. Thank you that we have eyes that can see. We are no longer blind in the name of Jesus. We are no longer poor. Let the poor say, I'm rich. We are rich in you, O God. In everything that you've given to us, your word is so rich. Your word produces everything that we need in our lives. So, Lord, we give you praise. The captives in our family, they are free. They are no longer a source of trouble or brokenness to us. We are free from brokenheartedness. In the name of Jesus, we are free from all stress. We are free from all pain and sorrow. In the name of Jesus, because you paid for it, you carried the grief and the sorrow. It is no longer ours to carry. We are free from it. I'm free from it. My family is free from it. And the family that's hearing my voice now, they are free in the name of Jesus. The captives, the prisoners of all any kind of mental, physical, spiritual captivity, they are free in the name of Jesus. Come back to your rightful mind. Come back to your rightful self. Come back to the table of communion. Come back to the table that God has prepared for us. In the presence of our enemies, we will enjoy the benefits of God and the daily bread of life that comes from God of life. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for good news. Good news to every family member. Good news from far and near. We thank you, God, that you are a God who answers prayer. Lord, we speak now for peace over Jerusalem. Peace within her walls and her palaces in the name of Jesus. Prosperity to her palaces. Thank you that you are doing what no man can do. You are the God who answers by fire. You are the God who answer your people, Lord, and set every captive free. Remember your people, Lord. Remember your everlasting covenant that you have cut with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember your people, O God, and do only what you can do. Father, you're a miracle-working God. Let the miracles continue. Let the blessing of God continue. Out of Abraham shall all nations be blessed. Let Israel be blessed. Let Nigeria be blessed. Let Canada be blessed. Let United States of America be blessed. Let Italy be blessed. Let Spain be blessed. Let Portugal be blessed. Let all the islands of the seas be blessed. Let all First Nations be blessed. And wherever someone is calling upon the name of the Lord, save that nation. Bring healing and deliverance. Bring righteous rulers. Remove wicked leaders. And put righteous people, Lord. And Lord, revive us to the churches. In the name of Jesus, let the churches wake up and go back to the first love, seeking your face, praying and knowing that God, you are still the answer. In the name of Jesus, remove tiredness and lethargy from the church in the name of Jesus. Bring people to yourself, O God. Bring people who will pray. Let the praying people rise, that there will be fire again in the land. Revival fire begin to burn again in the name of Jesus. Not only in this nation, but all nations where someone is praying. I know there's more than two or three people calling upon the name of the Lord. So hear the cry and answer, O God. God of hosts, send your military ammunition and drive every enemy away from our land. In the name of Jesus. Father, move in the service this morning. Heal your people. Restore them. Make them whole. Let your word come with power, with grace, favor, and mercy. With truth, healing, and deliverance. Wholeness and testimonies. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' mighty name. Bless all the activities coming up. The August 15 activity with the young people, the youth, and the Sunday school, and also the neighborhood. Bless the 50th ministry anniversary coming up from September 10 to 13. Lord, move upon your people and all those traveling. Grant them journey mercies. Bring them safely. Let your word come with power. And we thank you for the goodness of God. We thank you for perpetual jubilee in Apostle's life, my life, and the life of this congregation and all our partners all over the world and extended families. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated, Apostle.
Just keep on saying what God's word says about you and keep on acting in ways. That's what we're talking about. You are what you say and you are what you see. When the word of God says confess your sins to God, he's saying say the same thing. Come into agreement with what God's word says and turn away from it. Yes, God, you say that this thing that I'm doing is wrong, but you have also given me the power to live victoriously. I choose the life of victory in Christ Jesus. That's how you resist the devil.
Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for everyone here this morning. This morning, I want to explore something with us that the Lord wants us to be reminded of. Of the things that God calls us to do, one of it is prayer. Prayer. We're called to pray. God calls us to pray because God wants to answer. But many times we pray for things that God has already given. Those kind of prayers, He's not obligated to answer. Because God, if He answers many times those prayers, is castigating us into a place of no relationship, a place of, if you may excuse the word, stupidity. When access has been given, access has to be lived out. When we say something like this, sometimes people may get shocked. For example, you praying for God to give you peace is foolishness. Because He already told you, "My peace I give to you." It's yours. So then it is your responsibility to exercise peace. How do you do it? By prophesying it, by declaring it. So, by the declaration of, "I have the peace of God which passes all understanding," I activate that peace which God has already given. I'm activating it because I know that peace Himself is Jesus. And I am activating that particular area of my walk with God by recognizing that He is with me. And He says He will never leave me nor forsake me. So when I say, "Oh Lord, give me peace," what am I saying? I'm acting like He's not there. So for Him to keep on answering that prayer is to keep me dumbed down. And God wants me to mature. Amen? Are we together? Now, there are things like that in the scriptures that God has not called us to ask for because He already told us, "Hey, listen, your Father knows what you need. And has already made provision for it." So one of the issues that faces us is the challenge to pray for money. What God wants me to do is to tap into the resources that He has already provided. "Lord, I thank You that it's time for me to have this resource so I can do this." Amen? Let it be released. Faithlessness causes me to act from a beggarly position. I'm begging all the time. When God is calling me to declare what is already in heaven, in the earth. Amen? So, when we talk about prayer, we're talking about something different from what we are used to. Prayer is more about being and knowing and reminding yourself that you are in the presence of God and listening to what He has to say. Because prayer is not me giving God information. It's about me collecting information from Him on what to do rather than me telling Him about the problem. God didn't get the information when you start talking about it. Praise the Lord. Now, this is very challenging to us because we are traditional in so many things. And the Word of God says the traditions of men make the Word of God of none effect. We do things traditionally, not based on what the Word of God says. When we come into relationship with what God's word says, we come to a place where we are seeking revelation so that we can bring about a revolution. Praise the Lord. We're seeking revelation to bring out about a revolution, a change, so that we can move into motion. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, the Word of God says to us in the book of James, chapter 4, James chapter 4, the epistle of James, the fourth chapter. We read certain things here. He says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Why are you warring and fighting all the time? What was that about? He says, come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members. He says, you are fighting because of the lust that's inside of you. And you wanting that lust to be fulfilled. And many times, lust is about what you need from somebody else. Are we together? Praise the Lord. He says, I want this from you because I need this. And so I have to fight with you to get it. So that's where your battling comes from, because you don't know that your source is him and not them. And so you're fighting with that person to get money, to get love, to get peace, to get whatever. Meanwhile, it comes from him. But now you're fighting. You're fighting with this person. If you only loved me, you don't love me. Well, they're supposed to love you as they pull love from the source. But your fulfillment needs to be first of all from him. Praise the Lord. When your fulfillment is first and foremost from him, you are satisfied without whatever it is that they do or don't do. Come on. Because if your whole life is based on what people are going to do for you, you're going to live a miserable life. You're just going to live in misery. Then you've given power to people rather than to God. Are we together? God is your source. So when I pray for something or I'm asking for something or prophesying about something, I'm not looking at John Doe to be the source, to be the provision. I'm looking at God. And if John Doe is the one that God uses to bring it to me, hallelujah, thank you that you heard God and you did what God said. Because God is still going to use people. And if it means using a fish, then that's what he's going to do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen. Are you listening? Understand that there's nothing that you will ever pray for that God has not already made and put in place. It's all here. God is not making more gold. God is not making more silver. God is not making more oceans. Everything is here. And whatever it is here that has the capacity and the ability to reproduce after itself is meant to do that. Praise the Lord. So everything is here. The only thing is that whatever it is that I don't have has not been made manifest to me. And the chances are there is an enemy that is hoarding it somewhere that needs to release it. Are we together? The Word of God says that God cursed the earth, not the man. He cursed the earth. And the curse on the earth was this, that its capacity to release whatever it is that it had was restrained. The woman that, in a sense, had the curse was that the ease of birthing was restrained. So the curse is about restraint. So the blessing then is about release. Hallelujah. The blessing is about what?
Release.
But how is the release brought about? The Word of God tells us that it's brought about by praise. It says, let all the earth praise the Lord, then shall the earth yield its increase. Yield it. It has to release it. Praise the Lord. So, instead of me fighting, I need to be declaring that there be a release. My husband does not love me. Lord, let there be a release of love out of him to me. My wife does not love me. Let there be a release of love from her to me. Are we together? Because about what? Release, not restraint. So what is prayer meant to do? Prayer is meant to bring about a release or a manifestation. Manifestation means to be unveiled. Now, when it got unveiled was not when it existed. When it was manifested was when it was revealed and seen. But it always was there. Every answer I'm looking for has always been there. It just needed to be manifested or released. But the funny thing about that word manifestation is that it has two aspects to it. Manifestation. And when God wants to manifest things, he brings a man that brings about a festation. You know what a festation is, right? A festation is an attack. Something coming on you. When the blessing comes, it comes with a festation, an abundance. When festation takes place, there's a manifestation of abundance. Are we together? So, the idea about manifestation is that God comes to that place where, as he reveals it, there is an abundance that comes with it. So we declare today in the mighty name of Jesus that there be a manifestation. And that everything that we need comes to us speedily and efficiently to the glory of God. Hallelujah. The profuse manifestation of the goodness of God in our lives. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Manifestation is about men coming and overwhelming a situation. Are we together? Lord, give us men that overwhelm whatever the situation is, whatever the problem is, that we have men that pounce on it. Amen. Hallelujah. That's how manifestation takes place. The word of God says in the day of his power, the people will be willing, there will be a willingness of heart to manifest the glory of God. No fighting amongst ourselves. He says, you lost and have not. You're lusting for it, but you don't have. You go up to the extent of killing because you desire to have and you cannot obtain. You fight and war, James 4:2, yet have not. Why? Because you what? Ask not. You didn't ask. That's a problem. You didn't ask. You didn't place your requisition. Let's step away from James for a moment and go to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning to read from about verse 4. We read these words, rejoice in the Lord, what? Always. And again I say what? Rejoice. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is where? At hand. He's right here. Therefore, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Prayer, supplication. Prayer and supplication. The best way for me to explain supplication is to split it into these two words, supply, application. Amen? He says, and do that with thanksgiving. Place your order. That's supplication. Place your order. He says, let your request be made known unto God. Let God know what you need. Now, we started out by saying the time that you talk to God about something is not when God became aware of it. Because obviously he's aware of it. So what is the request doing? It is triggering your readiness for what God has already provided. I'm ready for this now. I'm ready for the finances for this now. I am ready for this marriage now. I'm ready for the children that you have for me now. I'm ready. So you're making a request because you're ready for something to be provided that has already been provided but needs to be made manifest to you but will not be made manifest until you make your request for it. Right now, in some restaurant somewhere, food is getting ready. It's been cooked. Or rather, the materials for preparing that particular meal that you want is in the restaurant. But they're not going to do it, except if it's for fast food like McDonald's or Burger King or whatever else. They're not going to do it until you place the order. Yeah? And when you make your request, they confirm that as a request that you want filled, then they get it done. Now, fast food, they presume ahead of time that you are coming. Hallelujah. That's faith. And they start getting it ready. So that when you place the order, you know, in the whatever screen there, it says, okay, come on to the window. And by the time you get to the window, they're handing you your stuff. And you go on. Well, request needs to be made known unto God. I am ready. I'm ready. Now, how do I get ready? I get ready by feeding myself with the Word of God. God does not want to give to me something that will cause me to betray my relationship with Him. If you're not ready, then He's not obligated to give it to you, because in the first place, you will not have the presence of mind to ask for what you need, because you don't know what you need. It says, let your request be made known unto God. It says, when that request is made, the peace of God is activated. The presence of God is activated, which passeth all understanding. And it shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. While you're waiting for your meal, you're at peace. You're drinking your juice or your water, eating whatever bread they have on the table and whatever else, you know, while you're waiting for that which has been put together to be brought to your table. Now, this is important. When you have placed the order is going to be coming to your table. If you lost me, I'm talking about your restaurant now. Are we together? Okay. But when the food comes, will you be at the table? Or would you have left because they didn't do it McDonald's way? Well, you're in a restaurant now. And therefore, it's important to be able to identify the kind of things I'm asking God for. Because certain things, while in God's mind, it is like that. Certain things that I am asking for, I need to be ready for. Fully ready for. And God will be watching me to see that I am getting my mind right, my thoughts right, my speech right, so that when He gives it to me, I don't mess it up. It's only the devil that will give you things that are really important just like that, only because he wants you destroyed. He wants you destroyed. Listen, if all you say to your child is yes, 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 then you hate that child. Let me say that again. If all you say to your child is yes, 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 and they've never learned no, you've destroyed that child. Say it a third time. If all you say to your child is yes, 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 and they've never heard no, you've destroyed the destiny of that child. The God who loves you and I will not say yes, yes, yes. There are times He's going to say no. There are times He's going to say hold. There are times He's going to say move faster. You ask him for something, but you're not in the right position right now. You need to be over here. Because that's where the answer is coming to. Because that's where you're supposed to be now. Are we together? So when we're talking about prayer, we're not locking God in a box. Prayer is more about me being ready and properly positioned to receive the manifestation of what God is trying to bring to me. So when I experience delay, I must ask myself this question. Is there something I'm doing wrong? Is there a place that I'm supposed to be right now for me to be able to connect with what you are bringing my way? These are relevant questions. And they are not questions that are there to bring about condemnation, but rather questions that I ask so that I am matured and I have the capacity to embrace what God has for me. Praise God. Timing is a lot of things. And it's very important in the economy of God, timing. Now, mercy, when it's time for a manifestation, mercy acts up in a very interesting way. Zechariah was praying for a child with a wife. Elizabeth, we're praying. And he didn't stop praying. The reason I know is the word of God tells us that the angel came to him while he was steadfastly serving in his calling and says, God has heard your prayers. You're going to have a child. And I wonder, this guy is an old man and he's still praying for a child? Well, that is a very important statement. Because the Word of God tells us that we should do what? Pray without ceasing. Now, praying without ceasing is not necessarily about praying 24 hours in the day. While we should know that the presence of God is with us 24/7, 365, 366 days in a year, and for as long as we live. Praying without ceasing is praying about steadfastly about what you are believing God for and declaring what you are believing God for without wavering on it. You asked, and you are steadfastly asking about that thing. Now, I know that we have a certain level of teaching about you pray about it one time and you begin to give God thanks the rest of the time. And that is irrelevant. Don't discount that. That is the truth. The problem is we pray about something, we've not seen it, we're thanking God for it, and then midstream we change. We start asking for something else. No, what God wants you to, this is what I'm looking for, and that's what I'm thanking you for. Let me go a little bit vain for a moment here. I'm praying for a very special Mercedes-Benz or Bentley or whatever. Or one of those Elon Musk, ugly vehicle, the one that, you know, the ugly one? Yes, that one. I don't know why anybody buys that, but they pay a lot of money for it. But let's say I'm praying for that. And the first thing that shows up is a Volkswagen. I thank God for the Volkswagen, but I keep my eyes on what I started praying for. Thank you for this. But Lord, remember, are we together?
Yes.
Don't be double-minded about what you are believing God for. Be thankful for everything, but the training of praying without ceasing is you being steadfast and committed in knowing what God said to you and why you believe it and why you trust in Him to bring it to pass. Everything else can come, but your mind is set on knowing what you really want. God said about Adam, He said it's not good for him to be alone. Yes? And then what shows up? The chimpanzee. And he knew that's a chimpanzee. Then came the giraffe. He says, that giraffe. He did not connect with those things and say, well, since God said it's not good for me to be alone, thank God for this bulldog. Now, this is my partner, bulldog. No, he did not go for the bulldog. He did not go for the chimpanzee. He went for what he knew was to be right. And even though he was asleep when God took the bone out of his side and went somewhere else and put her together, when he saw her, he knew this is now bone of my, this is what I am looking for. God said, it's not good for me to be alone. Yeah, I want something like this. And God made what he wanted and brought it. Praise the Lord. The only problem, I may get into trouble for this, is she could not be satisfied. Until today, no man can satisfy a woman. Even God can't. I said I was going to get myself in trouble. Yeah, I'm into it. I'm going deeper. You say, how? Well, as beautiful as God has made her, she still needs to put on makeup. Huh? She still has to, she has nice hair already. She puts a wig on. She wants new eyebrows and eyelashes. I saw one the other day, just the other day. Big eyelashes. I said, God, you created this woman with nice eyelashes. Now she's added something else. So if God cannot even satisfy the woman, man, you cannot. When the woman wants to be satisfied, she will be satisfied in herself. Amen? It is not the doing of any man. Maybe that will set some men free tonight. Do your best, but know that if she wants not to be satisfied with it, your best is not going to be enough. Period. It is the Bible. It is so. And we're living it out. Do you agree? Oh, thank God. A woman agrees with me. It is the way it is. But guess what? God says that His church, men and women, are His bride. So guess what? We do the same thing. God gives you whatever, and you still want to make it up. Add something to it. Now, just learn to be satisfied with thanksgiving. Amen? You say, Pastor, didn't you just contradict yourself? No, no, I'm still on the same page. I said, starting out with this, that praying without ceasing is you focus on what it is that you know God and you have talked about. And you don't stop until you see it manifested. You don't quit. You stick with it. God, this is what you told me. And if everything else is contradicting whatever it is God said, you stay with it. You stick with it. Say, God, this is what you told me. Many years ago, the Lord, it's got to be about 15, 20 years now, I think, the Lord said to me, he said, son, if you want to go somewhere else, I will bless you there. You want to quit serving in Winnipeg? You want to go some other place? I'll go. And I said to the Lord, I said, thank you for that offer, but you said this is something you want to do in Winnipeg. So, I'm not going anywhere because you said. That's me connecting with what God said. And while everything else says, drop it. That's what you said. I'm praying without ceasing. That's it. Praise the Lord. So, no matter what the circumstances, I'm locked in on what God said. God is not going to come one day and say, well, you didn't believe me. No, he won't. Because I have believed him. I am sticking with the program. And I'm saying, God, this is what you said. And you're not a man that can lie. You're God. Hallelujah. And whether there's 50,000 people or one, I am locked in with you to see the manifestation of that which you will do. And when there is a manifestation, it is an infestation of men. Praise the Lord. Boom, overnight. What happened? What happened? It's called manifestation, an unveiling, a revelation. And the devil cannot stop that. Praise the Lord. That is our walk in him. Now back to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. In verse 3, it says, you ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Oh, get locked in. Come. It's very important. You ask and you receive not. Why? Because you ask amiss. In other words, you're asking for something and you're mistaken in what you are asking for, why? That you may consume it upon your lust. You're asking to satisfy your lust. What is the problem? What is the problem? The problem is that from God's perspective, whatever it is I'm asking for must have a connection to the kingdom of God. If what you are asking for, you cannot tie into the kingdom of God because of this that relates to the kingdom of God, then you're asking amiss. If you're asking for manifestation of finances, God wants to know, how does this connect with the kingdom of God? If you're asking for a brand new vehicle, God is asking, how is this connected to the kingdom of God? Because if it is not kingdom of God related, connected, it is founded in your lust, your own selfish desires. And whatever it is you're asking for at that point becomes an idol to you. Lord, I need a brand new Bentley. Why do you want a brand new Bentley? So, Lord, when I'm driving it, people will say, look at what God has done for him. Oh, God says, okay, let's do it. Because you've connected it with his kingdom. You've connected it with the preaching of the gospel. You've connected it somehow to that which interests God. God, I need a child. Yeah, I know you want a child. What about a child? I see, God, that you need a prophet. If you give me a child, you get a prophet. I'm going to release that child to you. God says, I like that deal. High five. Jesus is at the well with a woman. His disciples are gone to look for bread. And he says to the woman in John 4, he says, I'd like you to give me some water to drink. The woman says, want me to give you water? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. We don't have anything in common. How is it that you're a Jew? You're asking me for water. Jesus said, if you knew who is asking you for water, you would have asked me, who's asking you for water, to give you water. Is it? Excuse me? What do you mean, me asking you that is asking me for water? Well, Jesus was teaching her, if you want something from God, ask him when he's asking you. Because he's definitely at hand and you are on the line together. You're on the line. Jesus is on the line. He's asking me to give him $10. Now I can ask him, yes, you can have your $10, but I need this. He's right there. Hello? Are we together? When you need something, go giving God thanks. And God is going to ask you, okay, this thanks that you're giving is so much. What is it? What is it? You're very nice. What is it? You want some, and you come with offering that you usually don't bring. He's going, I see that you're giving me $20 here. You normally give me 50 cents. $20. What are you looking for? You say, that is bringing it to a very human level. Oh, you don't understand. Were you created in the image and likeness of God? Okay. Solomon brings an offering to God. It was so humongous. God said, what are we talking about here? What's happening here? I see this. What do you want? The man says, I need wisdom. You need wisdom. Why? And watch this. So I can take care of your people. That was kingdom. Are we together? That was kingdom. Now God says, wow, I'm going to do that, but I'm not just going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you money. Praise the Lord. So the secret to accessing God is finding out what God needs. The God who needs nothing wants to know that you're interested in bringing your whatever. When your child comes and plucks some dandelions from the field and comes and says, "Mommy, here, I brought you flowers." Do you say, "Get out of here with your weed"? Is that what you say? No, you say, "Wow, thank you so much, baby. Thank you that you thought about bringing me beautiful flowers." It's still the same today. You want anything from God? Give him something to work with. Your heart, your life, your dreams, your hopes, your aspirations. Turn it over. Now, in the process, we face many challenges. Because I wish I could tell you that every prayer is answered just like that and everything happens that quickly. But the reality is this. You have to stay steadfast in faith. You have to stay steadfast in faith. Proverbs 17:22 tell us about what happens when things are not flowing the way we want. It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart. Now that's you rejoicing. It says, it does good like a medicine. It says, laughter is like medicine. A merry heart, you choosing to be happy. Happiness is not the best word. Joyful is better. But there's this old song from maybe 20 years ago. It goes something like this. Don't worry, be happy. Yeah? That's very biblical. Stop worrying, be happy. No matter what the situation, just stay rejoicing in God. Be thankful, for this is God's will concerning you. Living a miserable life does not move God this way or that way. But an expression of thanksgiving and trust in God will cause God to work on your behalf. He says, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. When you allow your spirit to be broken because of disappointments, it says it will dry up your bones. In other words, your bones become brittle. Dry bones means that your structure is compromised. The Word of God tells us in Proverbs 13 and verse 12. Proverbs 13 and verse 12. It says this to us. It says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. When your hope is deferred, it makes your heart sick. It brings about depression. Now, it says, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. When the desire, that which you desire comes, it is a tree of life. But what is it that we must do? We must make certain that hope is not deferred. Now, what does that mean? Hope deferred. It's allowing a mindset or a thought life that is always putting whatever it is that you need now into the future because you have not seen the manifestation of it. So you say, well, maybe it's not today. Maybe it's next year. Maybe it's whatever. And you keep on pushing the line further and further away. And the net result is that you get discouraged. Now, what you and I need to do It's a little bit more dangerous, but much more rewarding. It is not deferring what you are believing God for, but a declaration of it being now. So you didn't see it, but the Word of God tells us in Proverbs that what is past is now, what is to be is now, and all that God desires from you is what is now. And the Word of God says, now faith is the substance, the building block of that which you are hoping for. Now faith. Now, so then what we need to do is exercise a now. Today is the day that God is going to do that which I'm believing Him for. Today is the day that I'm going to be pregnant. Today is the day that I'm going to receive all these finances so I can clear up all these bills. Today is the day that I'm going to receive my promotion. Today is the day that I'm going to be elevated. Today is the day that I'm going to grow up. Today is the day. Now, 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 now. Never lose sight of the now. Because if you lose sight of the now, you don't have the building block for what you are hoping for. Watch it again. Faith, now, faith is the substance. I believe that that Greek word there is the word hypostasis. And really, that word is found in Hebrews chapter 1 when it talks about Jesus being the express manifestation of God. The same word for substance. So, faith is the substance or Jesus manifested to bring about your hope. Did I lose you? If I lost you, wave. Okay, I didn't lose you, but I should say it again. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me read it to you directly from the scriptures so you see what I'm talking about. Hebrews. The Bible tells us now faith, Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance. The word is the word hypostasis. Now faith is the substance, hypostasis. Now, let me take you to Hebrews 1, and I'll show you right here where it says, who been, talking about Jesus, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. That word person is the same word as we saw in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 for substance. Are we together so far? So if I were looking at that verse, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His hypostasis, and I take that word person and I take it to Hebrews 11, knowing that the person here in Hebrews 1 and verse 3 is Jesus, then Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, if I'm looking at that verse, get me there. What's taking so long? Okay, there we go. Now faith is the hypostasis. Now faith is the person of things hoped for. Now faith is the word of things hoped for. You say, why did you put word there? Because Jesus is the word of God, and through the word, nothing was created outside or without the word. Yes? So, now faith is Jesus, the person who brings about the things that I'm hoping for, and he is the evidence, he's proven, the proven fact of the things not seen. Things not seen. You are, Lord, the evidence of what I've not seen. And Lord, you are well able to provide and make your word good in my life. Amen? It says, for by it, that is by faith, the elders obtained, they got a good report. We will end up with a good report based on our steadfastness in knowing who God is. And knowing that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me, I'll just read through Luke 18, 1 to 9, and then make a point. Luke chapter 18, beginning to read from verse 1. I'm just going to read through. He said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to what? Pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he will not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because of this widow, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them how? Speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Okay. Let's tie all of that together. The widow kept on coming. She was tenacious. She was committed on what she wanted. She was not going to get some other answer other than the answer that she was looking for. The judge decided, you know what? This woman is going to wear me out. I better respond to her situation. So he comes with the mind to solve her problem. Are you with me? But let's assume that day that he made up his mind not to delay, but to do what she has been asking for. She was not there. She was not there. You say, why do you come to that conclusion? That's the conclusion the Lord Jesus Christ came to. He's saying, listen, stick with it. He says, I'm going to come and I'm going to deal with it speedily. But when I come, will I find faith? Will I find you there to give the answer to? So many times we are not there. We've moved. Like the guy at the restaurant, you place an order for a big, nice steak, and all this agreements and everything, and you're waiting, you drank your tea, you drank your water, you ate your bread, you ate whatever it is that they put on the table, and said, these guys are wasting my time, and you walked away, they're not coming. And just as you left, the food comes, piping hot. Where's the guy that was here? Oh, he left. Guess where the food is going? Back to the kitchen. Don't let the answer God has for you go back to the kitchen. Sit down. Bug somebody. Waiter, I've been here for 2 hours waiting for my food. What's happening in the kitchen? Are you guys trying to kill the goat or the cow? what's going on? You want me to go help you catch the chicken, you know, so you can cook it? What's going on? Because I've been here. It can't be taking this long. Stay there. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. As you wait, God will give you strength. Lord, I'm waiting. I'm getting weary. I'm getting tired. Give me more strength. How do I get this strength? Rejoicing in the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Sing new songs unto the Lord. We say, no more delays. Get there. Do you remember a guy called Daniel? He's praying. When did God answer him? The same day. As soon as he prayed, God answered him. But the answer was delayed. And so God sent the warring angel to go help the messenger angel. And they broke through. And tonight I will talk more about that. They broke through. And the answer came. And Gabriel says to him, he says, the same day you were talking about this, God answered, I was just delayed by the prince of Persia. And that prince of Persia is still working. The whole thing in Iran right now with that prince of Persia, the U.S. thinks they can just go clean up that place. You need to dislodge the prince of Persia so that you can access those people. The government needs the church. That's what they need. They need people that will go into that White House, hold their hands, and begin to cry out to God and declare in the name of Jesus, Prince of Persia, you are dislodged. You are dislodged. You are dislodged. You are dislodged. And the whole thing will collapse. They wouldn't have to shoot one bullet. The whole thing collapse. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your everlasting word. We say, Lord, O God, that this day we receive power from on high, the grace to be able to stand strong in you. We'll receive that anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens. And we declare, Lord, this day that your kingdom has come and your will, even now, has been done in our lives as it is in heaven. Lord, your word says that you will not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we're able to bear, but will provide a way of escape. And Lord, oh God, today, in whatever areas we are experiencing delays or being challenged, Lord, we ask for revelation. And Lord, oh God, we ask, oh God, that in your mercy, that you move us from where we are to where we ought to be. Mature speedily. For Lord God Almighty, if you're able to cause a tree to grow up overnight for a Jonah, there's no reason why you cannot cause the answers that we need and the movement that is needed to happen just like that. So Lord, whatever it takes to bring us to that place where our lives truly glorify you, whatever it takes to bring us to that place where we truly are the manifestation of the sons of God. We ask, oh God, sovereign Lord, do it. Do it. Take us where we ought to be. Let your name be glorified forever. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I trust that something that was said today spoken to your spirit, and that you are truly equipped to move into dimensions of his goodness like never before. Tonight, I am going to take off from where I stopped this morning. I'm going to go definitely deeper and talk to us about certain particulars. Some of it, I believe I shared with us during the prayer meeting on Friday, but tonight I want to, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, go even deeper. Because what God is doing in and with us is not a temporary thing. When God entrusts us with what he has promised, we will not break apart because of the weight of the glory. We'll be able to handle whatever it is because we've been fully fortified. Amen? We have the capacity to be what God says we are called to be. Amen? Praise the Lord. At this time, I'll call on Mama to come, and we're going to share in communion together. While she's coming, let us honor God with our giving. Bring your tithe, your offerings, your vows, your first fruits, whatever it is that God has spoken to you about, just come quickly. Let us honor God. I need not to tell you how important your giving is to God and to this household. And give faithfully. There's a song that is bubbling in my spirit. It goes simply, Jesus, you are here. Jesus, you are here. Jesus, we are here. We are here for you. Jesus, we are here. Jesus, we are here. Jesus, we are here. We are here for you. Jesus, we are here. Jesus, we are here. Jesus, we are here. We are here for you. We take of this body and we eat, and we receive the manifestation of the goodness of God in every sphere, in every realm, in every dimension of our lives. Lord, you are God. We have come to seek your face, and we're asking, oh God, for your present help. Thank you, Lord. As we take off this body and we eat of your person for the manifestation of that which we are hoping for. Blessed be your holy name. Take off this body and eat. In Jesus' name.
Bible says some slept because they ate of this body unworthily. So before we continue and finish taking the cup of blessing, the blood, ask the Lord to have mercy on you and forgive you of all sins, known and unknown, deliberate, intentional, or unintentional. And then we can take a moment to do that with your own voice.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we ask that you have mercy and forgive us all our sins. Cleanse us with the precious blood of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
We repent of every known and unknown sin. Intentional or intentional. May your mercy override.
Yes, Lord.
May our life be spared.
Yes, Lord.
May we continue to live strong and healthy.
Yes, Lord.
May we not partake of your body and your blood unworthily.
Yes, Lord.
We partake now with the worthy intention you've given to us.
Hallelujah.
We receive mercy and we receive grace.
Amen.
And we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Let it begin to speak better things for us.
Hallelujah.
Let it not work against us, but speak life.
Yes, Father.
Speak truth.
Yes, Father.
Speak divine health.
Yes, Father.
Speak divine strength.
Yes, Father.
Speak divine wealth.
Yes, Father.
Open mighty doors.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Close the doors that need to be closed.
Yes, Father.
Shut down every work of the enemy.
Amen.
We thank you in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Take and drink.
We are thankful for the manifold blessings of the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Is there anyone here for the first time this morning? No? Okay. Well, we'll dismiss ourselves from those on Facebook and YouTube, only to remind them before they go that this evening at 7 o'clock, we will be gathered here again to experience the goodness of the Lord together. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, bless you. Enjoy the Lord. Please give us a quick moment. Is Pastor Joyce around? Thought I saw her.
She's at the back.
Okay. Pastor Joyce, where?